Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Broadway's Greenwood Campus. Today is a fifth Sunday. It's pretty rare during the calendar year. It usually happens four times a year that this happens, that we have five Sundays in a month. And so in the year of 2021, we want to make something special out of these days. We want to do something very intentionally together. We want to engage as one in a sacred spiritual practice. It is a spiritual practice that has been said to truly be at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. It is the spiritual practice that's been said to be the most central of all of the practices. However, it is a spiritual practice that I'm going to guess that many of us don't really think about being spiritual at all. It is the spiritual practice of celebration. God actually encourages us to party, you guys. That's good news, right? But with every spiritual practice, there's a corresponding freedom. You know, the idea is that we engage in these practices so that God's grace can enter in and we can be set free from something, right? And when it comes to the practice of celebration, here is what we are set free from. We are set free from taking ourselves too seriously. That would never happen, right? We would never do such a thing. But that's where this practice enters in. Richard Foster, who is kind of a specialist in the spiritual practices, this is what he's written about this. He says, "It is an occupational hazard of devout folk." So, you know, people like you and me who showed up to a church on Sunday, right? "It's an occupational hazard for us to become stuffy bores." That's not very nice, is it? He said that, not me, okay? But then listen to what he says. He says, "This should not be. Of all people, we should be the most free, alive, and interesting." And so what do y'all say? Are you ready to celebrate? We don't want to be stuffy boors, right? In the Old Testament, God actually commanded his people to very intentionally do this very thing, to come together three times a year for this express purpose, to party, to have a festival as they remembered with great joy and great gratitude all that God had done in their life together. They would do things like sing songs, which we've already done today, right? For example, when it came to the Passover feast, one of the songs that they would sing is Psalm 118 that Carla just read for us. It is actually the last in a group of psalms from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 that's known as the Egyptian Hallel, which is like the soundtrack, or if you're from my generation, the mixtape that is for Passover, right? You're always supposed to play it. And so they would sing these songs every time they would come together for Passover, and they would get to Psalm 118. And the way that it was meant to be engaged with is for it to be sung back and forth between a leader and the congregation. It was a call and response type of song, okay? And so I want us to try that out today. It means y'all are going to have to build the hype a little bit, all right? Can we do this? Every time I point at you, this is what I want you to say. His love endures forever. But I need this side of the room to be Israel for me. Can you be Israel? All right, y'all be Israel. If I just point over here, I just need you all. I need this side of the room to be the house of Aaron, okay? So when I point at you, you give me the refrain. His love endures forever. So let's practice one more time. Love endures forever. Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say.
His love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say.
His love.
Let those who fear the Lord say, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." It was a song that was supposed to build the energy and the excitement, right? And so there was a party over here and a party over there. And by the end, I think everyone probably had their hands up in the air, right? They would sing as a part of their celebration. But not only during these festivals would they sing together, they would do also one of my favorite things. They would feast. They would eat great food. Again, at the Passover feast in particular, they would share in a very special meal. A special meal that was meant to help them not just remember with their minds, but to, in a very powerful way, relive and experience again how God had rescued them as a people. And so when they sit down for this meal, they would do things like taste bitter herbs as a way of experiencing again the bitterness of their enslavement. And then they would do things like eat unleavened bread as a way of remembering how God had come in to their rescue and taken them out of Egypt in such haste that they hadn't even had time for the bread to rise. And then at the end of the meal, they would drink wine as a way of remembering how God had redeemed them. And so later in the service, we're going to do the same. We're going to share in a special meal together through which we will remember and celebrate and relive how Jesus' body was broken and how his blood was shed so that we could be rescued and redeemed. And so on fifth Sundays like today, we're going to sing together, we're going to feast together, and then we're going to do one last thing as one. We are going to give together. During these festivals that God had called his people to be a part of, they would often bring offerings to offer at the temple to him. And on fifth Sundays, we are going to bring a special offering as well. We're going to have a one Sunday only dollar difference on these days. And so all the dollar bills that will go into our offering box or our offering basket we have over here will go to benefit one organization in particular that's at work joining God in what he does, redeeming and restoring and setting things right. And this month, that organization is a group known as the Game Changers. This is a newer organization that we have partnered with as a church. But it's actually an organization that makes a lot of sense when you kind of look back and see how we've come to this place, because it's really the result of many of the partnerships that we've formed across the years. Around 14 years ago, before Greenwood had even launched, our Melrose campus felt that the Holy Spirit was leading them to better love their neighbors, their literal neighbors, the people in their own backyard, particularly the kids who live there. But they weren't sure what that looked like. And so they went to the principal at the school that was in their backyard, T.C. Cherry Elementary School, and they asked her, what would be helpful? It's a simple question, right? To which she replied, what our kids need more than anything else are mentors in their lives. They need adults who will show up, and these kids will know that that person is for them. They will know that they have someone cheering them on. And so we've been a part of mentoring in our schools ever since. Then, several years later, we sensed the Holy Spirit calling us to better love our neighbors, this time in the west end of our city. But again, we didn't really know what that looked like. And so we found ourselves going and asking questions and listening once again. And this time, what we learned from the people who live and who lead in that part of our city is that what was most needed in that moment was early childhood education. They needed their kids to have the opportunity to start school, public school, on track. You know, they needed opportunity, they needed resources to help them to be there. And so the Foundry Preschool was born to begin shaping these children from the earliest days of their lives so that they could be raised up as leaders. Just a couple years ago, we sensed the Spirit leading us once more to listen. And as we listened this time, what we heard about was a food desert. In the area particularly surrounding the housing authority here in Bowling Green. You know, it was an area within a five-mile radius of the housing authority where there was not a grocery store. There might have been some gas stations, but nutritious, affordable food was not available. And so that led to conversations with the housing authority itself, and Megan's Mobile Grocery was brought into being a lot through the tenacity of our friend Megan Davidson here at the Greenwood campus and her leadership as the president of that board. But now that bus is going into all of the food deserts in our community, right into the places who most need access to that fresh, affordable food. The bus just drives up and the food is right there for them. And so this is the pattern of our church. We have this strong sense that God is calling us to be a part of transforming our city, but we recognize that we do not have all the answers. And so that means that we have to humbly ask questions. It means that we have to very humbly listen and allow the people who are on the ground, the people who are most affected, the people who are most invested to teach us and to guide us and to lead us. But through this process, as we are talking with these people who are on the ground and we're discerning, like, what is it that's most important for us to be a part of in this moment? What is it that God is inviting us to be a part of here and now in this place? What happens in that process is that we form all kinds of relationships, beautiful and vibrant relationships that otherwise, quite honestly, we as a church would not have. Hi, guys. I'm so glad you're here. These relationships particularly have been built for our church in the African-American community. And so last year, when event after event after event exposed the need for racial reconciliation in our nation, when there were conversations happening about racial justice and about racial equality, Broadway was invited to listen once again. This time, at a table that was made up of community leaders, people that were a part of law enforcement, people who were business leaders, people who were educational leaders, other religious leaders in our town, and conversations began happening about what constructive things could we do together to bring hope and healing right here in Bowling Green. And so this morning, I want you to hear some of the results of those conversations that the Game Changers began to have last year and how we can be a part of it today. Let's watch together.
You know, when you think about the George Floyd situation a year and a half ago, maybe or more, when that happened, a group of leaders came together and began to collaborate to think about how can we leverage this moment in time to really make Bowling Green a better community. What happened in those areas, we did not want to happen in Bowling Green. So we began to put our ideas and our thoughts together to make a different impact for our city. A group of leaders from both the white community and the black community came together and met. And then once that was formed, we began to think, where is the greatest space we can impact? And that was in the area of jobs and developing people for furthering their career. I think it's a matter of readiness. It's a matter of being ready from an education standpoint, from a interviewing skill standpoint, from a preparation standpoint, just the nuances of getting into that space where you know how to fill out an application, you know how to interview, you know how to work professionally. And we looked at some professional roles as well. There are people that are working maybe at an administrative level, and in the case of our Game Changer Scholarship, they were working at a teacher level. Do they want the next level education for the next role? So we're trying to find those ways to bridge the gap between where they are and where they can go. Our hope is that we build the Game Changer network and we begin to build bigger bridges. The one initiative that we have that has been exceptional is the relationship between WKU, the two school systems, and the Game Changer community group. And we've collaborated on providing scholarships for those individuals. And that scholarship has now impacted five individuals who are in our cohort one. And so they're excited to be part of that. And we believe we can do more of that. The community coming together and Broadway United Methodist Church having a heart for this is really the community. And that means much, that we're all thinking about the same thing. No matter where we're starting, we're going in the same direction. And that's to make our community better. So anyone that's participating with this, we want to say thank you.
Well, last year, after the George Floyd situation, I began to think about the whole issue of race. It occurred to me that while I wasn't a racist, throughout my business career with numerous companies that I've been associated with, that I hadn't been particularly proactive in terms of addressing the issue of race. In reflecting about it, it occurred to me, well, you know a little bit about business and you know something about entrepreneuring. What about combining those two and getting with someone in the African-American community who has contact with folks who might have an interest in starting their own business? I approached Abraham Williams, and he agreed to kind of be my partner in this endeavor. And off we went with the program to attract minorities who had a dream to start their own businesses.
Don Vitale called me. He said, Abraham, it's something we need to do. What can we do? He said, I'd like to start something, some minority businesses, but I don't know which way to do it. In the past, through the house door, we've had some minority business operation before. It's for low-income, minority women, and especially for the African-American families here in Bowling Green. He said, what would you do different? I said, I would do a micro loan. So instead of having people to business, let's have them with some money to get started. And he said, how much you need? I said, maybe $125,000 get started. 2 weeks later, he had $125,000. 3 weeks later, we had a program called Pop-Up. And we have done great ever since.
Over the past 9 months, approximately, we have enhanced, it's 9 or 10 businesses, garment, food business.
We've done t-shirt shops, we've done bakeries.
Healthcare business, inflatable balloons for parties.
We've done salad shops, we've done baby clothing.
Largely small service businesses.
I think up to now we're up to about 10 businesses and we loan a total of $83,000 as of to date.
We do provide a good deal of help with respect to polishing their ideas and their business plan. And then after a good deal of work by members of the WKU community, the individuals kind of go before. If you've seen Shark Tank on television, that's the scrutiny that the budding entrepreneurs are subjected to.
It's a lot more than financial. It's the education part. It's payroll taxes. It's, you know, coming up with the business plan. It's so much more than just money. We have two persons, Dr. Harold Little and Dr. Pam Decker. Both of them are accountants. And Pam worked at American Bank and Trust and retired there. Harold Little's a retired professor in accounting at Western. So before they meet with the committee, they go through with them, they vet them to make sure they got all the financials straight. Then they meet with all of us, all 9 of us, and we determine if we're going to fund their businesses or not.
We need to be a unifying fabric and not a fabric that's being torn apart by dissension and disagreement. We need more agreement and mutual support and appreciation and sensitivity as to how we can work together to do better together.
I wish to say everything is fair, but it's not. And how do you give a person a hand up? We're not giving a handout. We're just not giving them money. They put their heart, their soul. Some have even quit their jobs because they believe in it. If you ever watch the Shark Tanks, we're the old Shark Tanks. And people call me, Doug, and the odd couple because God knows we're just about the oddest you're going to get. But we have one dream. How could we help the minority and the low-income community?
I am Martha Sales, and I am the Executive Director of the Intercultural Student Engagement Center and WKU TRIO programs, both housed at WKU. Game Changers really just started with the invitation of individuals in the community. We were asked to identify the problems of the social injustices that we were seeing in our sister cities and just around the United States. And we didn't want those things to happen here in Western Kentucky University or Bowling Green, Warren County. We talked and identified some key areas that diversity was lacking, especially in leadership and promotion. I was responsible for the educational area. We looked at our Bowling Green City schools and also our Warren County schools and identified that we didn't have enough teachers who were African American. We identified some barriers and some challenges as to why, put our minds together and eliminated those barriers. And one of them was to get additional certification or to receive a rank 1 or a principalship or go from an instructional aide to actually a full-time teacher. And so that's what the Game Changers component from the educational standpoint did.
My name is Corinne Murphy. I serve as the Dean of the College of Education and Behavioral Sciences at Western Kentucky University. I got a text message from Dr. Martha Sales, probably in the evening, late in July last summer. And it said, hey, I have an idea, and there's a group of people who have an idea, and we want to talk. And so it was as easy as that. They shared with me the impacts that they saw and the potential impacts for the community, education being one. We know that education is an avenue and a vehicle for our future leaders and citizens to really learn about other people and other families. And our teachers are the natural leaders within those classroom settings. When we're growing up, the experiences that we have are the ones that society sets up for us. So it's part of our family, it's part of the church, but it's also part of school. The school in and of itself is a huge impact. You're talking about Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 o'clock. These kids are with their teachers, roundabouts. And those teachers have long lasting impacts that we don't even know about. It really is truly a diverse world. And the more that we can expand our kids' experiences within their natural everyday, that's the moment that's really going to have impact for them long term.
Developing leaders, developing teachers, allowing students to see teachers, not just coaches and not just driver's ed teachers of color, but also math teachers and history teachers that are people of color, specifically African Americans.
We approached Bowling Green Independent School District as well as Warren County School District, who are fabulous partners with Western Kentucky University on a number of different programs, both for our K-12 students, but also our university students. And so we said, well, let's see if we can extend that partnership into one that supports current staff members on staff in those two districts to see if they want to be teachers. No surprise, many of them not only want to, but were ready, willing, and able to say, let's do this right now. But the biggest hurdle for all of our families, all of our teachers, all of our future teachers is financial. What we did was we took 1/3 WKU, 1/3 the Game Changers as a community group, and 1/3 from the school district. And so we all have shared buy-in on the project, which is terrific. And each future teacher who comes into our classes knows that they have the support of both of the community, the university, and the school districts. The Game Changer Scholarship is for staff members of Bowling Green and Warren County, Black and Brown future leaders who have an interest in teaching in the classroom. They've already completed their undergraduate degrees, but they are not certified staff. The opportunity is for them to enroll in courses at WKU. We work with them on testing and other licensure requirements, and they're supported through the scholarship.
It's so funny how God does things in full circle, because a lot of the students that are receiving the scholarships now, I serve those students when I serve at the Girls Club. So I think about one of the students, Shantae, who is working on her principalship in rank one. I have the Jan Waddell, who I remember him as a little boy when I worked with his mom and his aunt on WKU's campus. And they come from different places and different situations, and I have seen them grow. I have seen them mature, their fathers, their mothers, and they still want to do more at the level that they're on. And I know that they will pay it forward and give back. They are already well-rounded, and this provides them an opportunity to be the best version of themselves. I always tell people when they tell me that it's hard to make a change, I challenge them to be the change. Yeah, be the change. So when you think that something can't change, sometimes it's internal. What can you do to change yourself? And if you feel like you don't have the strength to make a change, then invest in someone else. Invest in somebody else's goals and dreams so you can see the change that you want to happen. Every obstacle provides opportunity. So when we look at obstacles, when we look at the social injustices, although they've been very disheartening, even when we look at the pandemic, they have provided opportunity for us to be better, for us to think outside the box, for us to stop doing what we've always done and do things differently and better. And it really forces us to reach across the table and say, hey, I can't figure this out, I need your help. So with every obstacle, I think there are opportunities to be better.
Today, we give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love indeed endures forever. He is at work in our world, redeeming and restoring and setting things right, not in some hypothetical way, not somewhere out there that we can't see, but right here in Bowling Green. He's bringing hope and healing in a way today that we can celebrate, but that we can not only celebrate, that we can participate in a very tangible way. And so if you'd like to support the Game Changer Scholarship today, you'll have the opportunity to do that as you leave. Again, the offering boxes are here up front. Every loose dollar bill will go toward one of the scholarships. Again, that's kind of in partnership with WKU, with our school systems, and our community. If you don't have dollar bills and you want to give a check, just make sure you write Game Changers on your memo line. And if you'd like to give through the app today, just be sure to choose the dollar difference from that drop-down menu. You also heard earlier today about a growth group that's going to be taking place this summer that will be having a conversation around racism. I know several of you here in this room have participated in other groups that we've had like this in the past, and I just want to take a second and say thank you to all of you who've leaned into those conversations. I know that it can be awkward. I've led some of those conversations, and it's awkward even for me, because we come from all kinds of different experiences, we come from different perspectives, we get into these conversations and we can be afraid that we might use a wrong word or that we might be judged for a thought or a question that we have. But again, these kinds of conversations are just kind of a continuation of the process that we as a church engage in again and again, us humbling ourselves to ask the questions and then to listen to the people who are most affected, so that we can discern together how God might be calling us to action. So again, if you'd like to be a part of that group, you can let us know that today. On your order of worship, there's a communication sheet that you can rip off really easily at the bottom, and you can drop that in as you leave today as well. But as we prepare to come to the table, would you pray with me today? Lord God, you are good, and your love does endure forever. Today we celebrate the many ways that we can see your love is at work, loosening the chains of injustice, setting the oppressed free, tearing down the walls that divide us, and removing the barriers that stand in the way of fullness and abundance. God, we thank you for the ways that Game Changers is joining you in what you are up to in the world, and we thank you for the opportunities that you are giving us to join you as well. Bless these gifts that we give today. And God, we pray that you would keep growing our capacity as we give to love our neighbors as ourselves. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who gave himself for us. Amen.